Praise God. Please be seated. Great singing today, folks. Thank you for taking part in that song service, preparing your heart to get ready for the preaching of God's words. And Linda and Rhoda are going to sing this morning as a special offering unto the Lord. They're going to sing about the power of the blood.
From your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Let's take our Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at another beatitude here this morning. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." As we continue our study through the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be looking at maybe one of the most misunderstood beatitudes of all of them. The attitude of meekness. All right? Can you imagine the response Jesus must have had when he said this right here? Probably some of the same response that we would get today. I'm sure a few eyebrows were raised when Jesus said this, because it went against the thought of the day, which was the only way to inherit the earth is to overthrow Rome, who was the leading authority at that time. You don't inherit the earth by being meek. Same way of thinking today, isn't it? To get what you want, you can't be meek. The way to overthrow an oppressive government is a massive protest campaign, right? The way to overthrow I'm jumping into it real quick here, folks. The way to overthrow an oppressive employer, a protest campaign, or whatever you want to call it. Organize. We need strength. We need power. We need to be united if we're going to get what we deserve. Whether it's in government, the workplace, the church, and even in our homes. That same thinking runs through all of those. When was the last time you heard someone say, to get ahead in life, be meek? Has anyone ever heard that? I don't think I ever had. Meekness isn't a characteristic that's promoted today. Maybe never has been. In fact, the world's philosophy is quite the opposite of that. The world says the more assertive you are, the more success you'll have. Reach for the what? The stars. Grab the what by the horns? The bull, okay? I don't recommend that, by the way. It's a figure of speech. But we have these figures of speech in our culture, in our world, that really do not picture meekness. They're just the opposite. When we think about what Jesus said about the meek inheriting the earth, it really does kind of sound ridiculous. And that's because the word meek has lost its true meaning today. In fact, to try to define the word meek in the original Greek, it's nearly impossible because there's not one word that describes it. Today, in fact, the word meek is used as a slur. It's the same as calling someone a spineless coward. Yellow, okay? Chicken. Let people trample all over him or her, whatever the case is. And that gets the label of meek because they're a coward. They don't stand up for their rights. Well, we have a lot of people doing that today, don't we? And I'm not talking about politically. I'm just talking about in our own homes, too. Standing up for our rights. We say someone is as meek as a mouse. That's the picture we get for meek. But meekness is actually a byproduct of someone who is the first two Beatitudes, poor in spirit, and who is mourning over their sinful condition. And then we come to this third Beatitude, those that are meek. It's a byproduct of those first two. This is, remember, there is this connectedness that we're seeing so far just in these first two Beatitudes and now connected to this third one even. Remember, when we're poor in spirit, the first one, we see our own unworthiness before God. It's an acknowledgement, a recognition of what we are, what we are not before God. It's a recognition that we are sinners. That we are detestable, that we are despicable, that we are nothing apart from God. That's the first beatitude, poor in spirit. And we're able to see that we are totally dependent upon God and His grace, poor in spirit. And because of that, we're connected now to the second beatitude, the second attitude. And that is we begin now to mourn over our lost and sinful condition. We don't see hardly any of that today, do we? I'm telling you, those people out there and in those other churches, they need to get it right, don't they? We don't see much of that personally, do we? We're missing something in those first two. We mourn over our lost and sinful condition when we see what we're really in. And this is what produces godly sorrow that leads us then to repentance and a receptive heart before God. Repentance, that's not saying I'm sorry, folks. We understand that, don't we? Repentance is I am horrified by the sin that I committed. I never want to do that again. And we turn away from it. That's repentance. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me for where I have failed you today. Amen. Did you hear any repentance in there? And yet, a lot of times, that's how our daily prayers go, right? When we are poor in spirit, we see our unworthiness before God, which leads to our mourning over our sin. And that is what brings true meekness in a person. Now they're down to where they need to be meek. I came across this poem written by Todd Ernst. It says, "Those who are meek can be humble and mild, or have a spirit that's powerful and wild. One may have an aggressive willpower or a heart as large as the Eiffel Tower. But a meek person has it under control. Whether mighty bright or a little dull, there is no ego for one who is meek, but humble and kind to help the weak." Now, that goes completely counterintuitive to our culture, folks. Because why? Because we are Americans, right? That American spirit, that patriotism, which we should be patriotic. But this no one tells us to do anything, right? Because we're Americans. We are ruggedly independent. I mean, meekness, it's not in our DNA as Americans. We have a problem here. However, folks, we need to understand that meekness does not mean weakness. Meekness, it's kind of a hard nut to crack because we tend to think that being a bully is the opposite of being meek. And nobody wants to be bullied. So we're not going to be meek because that's the target of the bully, right? Do you know that song Amazing Grace? My musicians didn't know I was going to do this, so we're just going to do this a cappella. Can you sing with me? Just that first verse of Amazing Grace. The words will be on the screen there. Sing it with me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Some amazing words there. Amazing truths that we were singing. Dr. Lloyd-Jones, he says this, "This meekness denotes a humble and gentle attitude to others." Humble and gentle, which is determined by a true estimate of ourselves. Okay? Now, it's easy, albeit uncomfortable, to be honest about ourselves in the eyes of God, isn't it? We can give ourselves the Sunday school answers. Yes, I'm a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. Yes, I'm a sinner. I am. But it's not so easy to allow other people to say things about us or to us. Is it? Guys, we can do a project at home, and we know it's not quite right, okay? And yeah, it bothers us because we're like perfectionists. We want to get it just right, okay? If you do something like that, like you've just painted something or built something, do not point out the flaws to your spouse. Because chances are they may not see the little thing that you didn't get quite right, and they'll never notice it. You point it out, they will see it every time they walk through the room, okay? Just keep it to yourselves. But we can do something at home that's not quite right, and it bothers us. And we know we didn't do it just right. We kind of maybe cut a corner, or, you know, the duct tape is showing when there really shouldn't have been duct tape. But it's functional. It works. And we're okay. Life goes on. But if our spouse points out that flaw which we already admitted that was there. But if they point it out, we don't like that, do we? And that's what we're getting at here. It's easy to be honest or uncomfortable to be honest about ourselves before God, but it's hard to let other people say things about us or to us about flaws. Not just spouses, okay, but employers, employees, people here at church and us. We just don't like it. Let me illustrate it this way. Okay, don't make eye contact with the teacher right now. I'm looking to see who to pick on, all right? Monty, you're it. Yay! You're the next contestant. Come on down. No, you can stay there. You can stay there. That's fine. Monty, suppose I walked up to you one day and I said, "You are absolutely a detestable person. You are so very, very bad. You are wretched. You are wretched, and you are a very unpleasant person. I watch you, and there is nothing good about you at all, except your wife." Right. Okay. Gone out of that one. And everything you do here at church is less than perfect. I just wanted to let you know that. Now, how would the normal person respond to that? That's pretty strong, isn't it? Okay? That wasn't really seasoned with grace and love, now was it? Maybe I could have worded it a little more diplomatically. But let's just be direct. Let's just be honest. Monty, you're wretched. Okay? Okay, I'm feeling adventurous here. My wife, you are wretched. Now hold on. Let me put up a mirror. You're wretched. Now, I did that to illustrate something. We just sang Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. We sing the truth to God, and we're okay with it. But don't you point it out about me. What's the problem there? We don't have meekness. Okay? We don't have meekness. It's true, but don't you say it, all right? In other words, we are not prepared to allow other people to think or speak of us what we just acknowledged before God in singing Amazing Grace. There is a hypocrisy there. And there always is hypocrisy when meekness is absent. Can you see how if we were meek, okay, if we were meek, can you see how there wouldn't be nearly any disagreements at home? If we were meek, can you see how the failing marriages would decrease dramatically if we were just meek? Let me try to give you a definition, okay? Let me just say that meekness is not weakness, all right? Did you know the Bible only calls two men meek? Only two. They're Jesus and Moses. And neither one of them were pushovers, were they, folks? Okay, so we're not talking about weakness. We're not talking about being a doormat to be abused and used. What is meekness? Here's my idea of a good definition. Meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. In the Greek, it refers to a wild horse that's been tamed. That horse is no less weak than it was a week ago when you tamed it, but now that strength is under control. It refers to a medicine that tames a fever. Someone who was meek is then someone who has great strength under restraint. Let's consider Moses for a moment here. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Here's the verse. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses never compromised God's principles of righteousness, folks. Never once. He wasn't weak. He stood for what was right. He didn't back down. Nor did he compromise with evil either. He didn't accept it, tolerate it, ignore it. Instead, he was meek because he was sensitive to the will of God. Do you remember when his family members, he got married? It was an interracial marriage, and his family members had a problem with that. Do you remember that? He was the leader of 2+ million people. He was God's man. And remember, he had that staff thing that he could do with stuff with, you know. Just point it at him or something. He was Moses. He was God's man. He talked, he spoke directly with God, and God talked to him. And these family members don't like what I did. And there's nothing wrong with what I did. There's nothing wrong with it. They just had a problem with it. What did he do about it? Nothing. Strength under control. He recognized that God is sovereign. God took care of it. Let's consider Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And yet, Jesus once made a whip and drove out the money changers out of the temple. Do you remember that? He was flipping tables over. He was setting the doves free. He had a whip in his hand. There was money flying. There was animals scurrying everywhere. No one laid a hand on him. You see, Jesus was sensitive to the will of God. And so he prayed, in Luke 22, he's prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." Everything was all focused on what God's will is and doing God's will. Meekness is strength under control, which means that meekness is an attitude of the heart. It's not something we do. You can't do meek. You're either meek or you're not. If you're meek, actions will respond from that. It's an attitude of submission to God. That's ultimate meekness there. It's a recognition of God's sovereignty, that God is in control. It describes someone who is crushed and mourns, the first two Beatitudes, as their heart is broken by sin. They're broken by it. They're mourning over what they have done. And what do? They then gladly submit to God, acknowledging their indebtedness to Him. That's a picture of meekness. And so if meekness is strength under control, how is it seen in our actions? All right, here's one way. Meekness is being gentle, not judgmental. Now, I know some of you have the spiritual gift of judgmentalism, right? I mean, you can look at someone or something and you know exactly what's wrong with it. And you know exactly how they should have done it, what they should have said, how they should have said it, if they should have said anything at all, or maybe they just should have asked you, right? It must be a spiritual gift that a lot of people have. Now, a meek person, okay, who instead of ripping someone else apart for what they did or said, they're gentle, they're understanding, and they're gently leading others instead of tearing them up. Let me give you a verse, Romans 14:1. "Him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." All right, that's the King James wording there. But that doubtful disputations, what's that talking about? It's saying receive someone who is weak in faith. Spiritually, they're weaker. Or maybe they have done something wrong because they're not as spiritually superior as you and they just didn't realize it. Or maybe they did it intentional and they have a sin problem. Receive them without passing judgment on disputable matters. That's what that second part means. You know, a lot of our disagreements and divisions we have with each other are over really stupid stuff that 5 years from now, no one's even going to remember. Really. In eternity, we're not even going to think about them. Meekness is being gentle, not judgmental. When someone blows it, okay, which people do, don't they? Okay, not you, but other people do, right? When someone blows it, instead of saying, "I told you so," instead of telling six other people that Rusty blew it, you're sitting in the front row, man, sorry, you're it. Instead of telling six other people what Rusty did or what Rusty said, instead of me telling Joe and Steve and Charlie and Sandy what Rusty did, what should I be doing in the spirit of meekness based on what we've already seen? I should be over here with Rusty, gently leading him, helping him get past that. What happens if I don't? He doesn't change. And then he does it again, and he does it again, and he does it again, and he does it again. And you know what happens before long? Every time he does that, what do we all say? Oh, that's just Rusty. That means somewhere way in the past, a number of people did not help gently lead him, and he's gotten to the point where, oh, that's just the way everybody knows him to be. Galatians 6:1, it tells us that if we catch someone in sin, observe, whatever the case is, then we, the ones who know about it, should restore them, teach them, disciple them. Telling six other people has never helped anyone grow. It doesn't. And when we choose the other way, the way of judgmentalism, we fall into the sin of pride and a judgmental spirit instead of this beatitude, this attitude of meekness. Here's the second thing. Meekness is being tender without surrender. So those of you that are black and white like me and are wondering, okay, does this mean we have to surrender every time? Because I know, I'm telling you, most of my disagreements, I'm right, most of them. Okay, I'm telling you right now, I'm right. So how does this fit into being meek when I know I'm right? Okay, folks, we can't please everyone in this life. We cannot. So a meek person is tender without surrendering what is right. One test of spiritual maturity is how we handle disagreeable people. You know, those who irritate us. Maybe it's people that everyone would say, oh, that's just the way they are. Like we were just dealing with Rusty here. You know, it's someone like that that's been that way forever. How do you handle disagreeable, irritating people? People who maybe contradict us at every single turn. Maybe they're people who like to get into debates and arguments. Or maybe they're just, excuse me, in a mood where they just want to argue. Maybe there's someone who they try to massage and manipulate things behind the scenes. Like, let's say as pastor, I say no to a question. And they go and try to manipulate it on their own some other way because they didn't like my answer. Or if they bring a problem to me and I say, oh, that's okay. Well, not with them, it's not. And they're going to make sure they fix it. But they got to do it undercover. So they manipulate it. You know, people like that, all different kinds of people. We have three alternatives when those things happen to us. We always have these three alternatives when it comes to confrontation. Number one, we can retreat in fear. We can just run for the hills. That would be weakness. We could attack in anger, maybe controlled anger, because we're spiritual, right? Or, number three, we could respond in love. Meekness responds in love without compromising convictions. Meekness isn't passivity. It's not giving in. It's not reacting in anger and blowing others away in our spiritual superiority that we have. Look at God's ways, okay? Here's what God says to do. In Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What are grievous words? Grievous words are harsh words. So we're not talking about a knockdown, drag out, yelling argument between spouses here. We're talking about a comment that's made, something that was done. Maybe she said something about the duct tape that you used to fix the curtains with or something. I don't know, okay? Whatever it is, let's just put it in the home right now. A soft answer versus harsh words. Now, guys, you know, we could respond with some harsh words, couldn't we? Ladies, you know that you can respond with harsh words. Harsh words stir up anger, don't they? Meekness, here's what it looks like. We use a soft answer. Like, honey, I realize that you don't like the look of the duct tape. So I'm just going to pray that you'll get over it. Okay? And you just say it really softly. No, it's not talking about the tone. The tone's part of it, but also the intent and the meaning behind what we say. We know how we do that, okay? But it's not just with spouses, with our children, young people, with your parents, meekness. In our workplaces, young people at school, with our teachers, with fellow classmates. Meekness is something that if we're meek everywhere, not just in here on Sunday, right? A soft answer turns away wrath. When someone has an argumentative spirit, here's what it indicates. It indicates an ego or pride problem because they have to be right. Not only do they have to be right, you have to say they're right before they'll stop. Right? Right? See, I just did it with you, okay? I know I'm right. You might as well just agree with me. But Jesus, in this beatitude, he says that a meek person is blessed. They're happy. Well, that doesn't make sense. How can we be meek and happy? Because they can be tender without surrender. Once we dispel the old idea of meek as being weak, and we realize it's strength under control, we can be tender without surrender. Things that are important. Number three, meekness is being teachable, not unreachable. It's a teachable spirit. But I've been doing this for 15 years. Don't you tell me what to do. Don't you tell me how to do it. And how many times have you preached? And you're now going to tell me how to preach? I heard, I have to be careful here. I heard a lady with the best intentions, okay, after a service one time where this man preached. And we were at his house, and I heard this lady telling him how he should have handled this point and that point, and how he should have said this, and how he shouldn't have said that. Oh, that went over like a ton of bricks. Okay? And actually, it went over well. Amazingly, he displayed great meekness, strength under control. I maybe would have thrown her out the windows, third story apartment, okay? Or something like that. strength under control, and he was gracious, amazingly so. A teachable spirit, meek people are eager to learn. Meek people don't pretend they have all the answers. The Apostle James said it this way, that every one of us should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Slow to get angry. Quick to hear. And this verse tells us how to keep our tempers under control, folks, which is the meaning of meekness, by the way. Strength under control. Keep our tempers under control. If we're to be quick to listen and a whole lot slower to open this, then our tempers will never be an issue. I hear something that Rusty, who's still sitting in the front row, he hasn't left yet, so you're it. I hear something that Rusty says to me, and I don't like it. Boom! Right away, I fire back at him. And since because he said that about me, he's not in any way spiritual anyway, so he fires something back at me. And then I fire something back at him. The strength, it's coming out. It's not under control. The temper is flaring. Meekness solves tempers, doesn't it? Quick to hear, slow to speak. How are you in the area of change? Do you like when things change? You know, we all have the way we like to do things. I don't know. Some of you folks that are older than me, maybe you can help me with this. But I think I'm going through a change in life. I just don't like things to change. I like things the way they are. Okay? Things at home, it belongs right here. Not here, but here. And that way, the next time I need that, I know it's going to be right there. Yes, amen. We have a support group starting right now, okay? Is that just because I'm getting older? I don't know. But according to what I've been studying here, it sounds like maybe there might be a meekness issue too. How are you in the area of change? Are you more open or closed to new ideas? Do you say, here's a test, well, this is the way it's always been done. Interpretation means this is the right way to do it. A meek person is teachable, not unreachable, okay? Here's a fourth one. Meekness is acting and not reacting, okay? A meek person takes the initiative. They act, not react. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, verse 17, he said, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Folks, we're all going to get hurt, right? We've all been hurt. And meekness involves how we're going to respond to that hurt. All right, now, I want to just pause for a moment, and I want you to get in your mind a hurt that's been done to you. Meekness involves how we respond to it. See, our natural desire is to retaliate and get even. But retaliation is to react to the hurt. You say, "Oh, well, I'm not a vengeful, spiteful person. I couldn't hurt a flea. I wouldn't do anything mean to anybody." So how do we handle that hurt? "Sandy, do you know what Rusty did to me?" Or, "I just can't believe that he said that to me. I mean, I was trying to be nice, and do you know what he did?" We can retaliate in a lot of different ways, can't we? When we respond with forgiveness, then we've now taken the initiative. A meek heart, a meek attitude, responds with forgiveness. Let me give you an example of that. A doctor hates cancer, right? But when a patient comes to his office, he doesn't hate the patient, does he? He hates the cancer. He doesn't hate the patient because they have cancer. He doesn't avoid the person when he goes to church and he sees that person because they have cancer. He doesn't go around talking about the person. They have cancer. They have cancer. Did you know what they did this? They have cancer. What does he do? He aggressively tries to remove the disease from them. He does it. He takes the initiative because he loves that person to try to remove that disease from them. And sometimes the removal, it hurts, doesn't it? Those of you that have had surgeries. Sometimes it's unpleasant, the removal of that bad thing. But he loves the patient even though they have cancer. It's not the patient the doctor hates. It's the disease that the doctor hates. Folks, sin in the Bible is described as leprosy. Let's change cancer to leprosy. Let's make another change. Let's just change leprosy back to sin. Why is it people do bad things? Sin. And instead of us hating the sin, we hate them for what they did or said to us, or the way they treated us. Where meekness means we take the initiative to remove that cancer from them. We love them enough to remove it from them. Sometimes it's going to be unpleasant. Sometimes it might even hurt. But our strength is under control, and we're going to use that strength to remove that from them. Listen, folks, God loves the adulterer. God loves the homosexual. God loves the drunk. God loves the gossiper. Yes, in that list. God loves the murderer. Absolutely hates and is angry at the sin of adultery, homosexuality, drunkenness, gossip, and murder. Hates that sin, but he loves that person. Meekness is the ability to handle the hurt without retaliation. Okay? Listen to this verse. Proverbs 16, in verse 32, it says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth or controlleth his spirit better than he that taketh a city." Just look at that verse for a moment. If I'm slow to anger, it says I am better than the mighty. My strength is under control. It also says that if I control my spirit, we'll talk about that in just a minute, I am better than someone that has the power to take over a city. If I can just control my spirit. Who controls our spirit? Who controls our emotions? Because that's what it's talking about. Meek people are self-controlled. We can control our emotions. Our emotions don't control us. Our emotions aren't at the control of someone else who pushes our buttons. What do we get when we're meek? Well, the Beatitude says we shall inherit the earth. Here's what we get when we're meek. Meekness inherits respect. Don't you respect someone who shows meekness? Meekness inherits understanding. Now let me explain this. People understand mercy and grace. They understand grace under fire when you're meek. When you demonstrate that, people understand this. People understand love, don't they? Winning respect from people, winning others to Christ, is more valuable than winning an argument, folks. even when you are completely right, it's more valuable to win respect and win others to Christ. That's what meekness does. That's what we inherit. Whatever injustice that we receive, or however we are treated unfairly, keep in mind that whatever we have lost, whether it's been time, money, reputation, or they just irritated us, whatever we've lost isn't lasting anyway. It's not going to last anyway. See, there's coming a day in Revelation that tells us this earth will pass away. Everything in it. Heaven, a new city, folks. And it says in that same passage that God will wipe away all tears. God will wipe away all hurts. God will wipe away all past offenses. The earth, that is the earth that the meek are going to inherit. The Garden of Eden from top to bottom, folks. The mean, the cruel bullies, they can have this one because it's going to get burned up anyway. We've got our eyes on the end game that's found in Revelation 21. If my eyes are on the end game, there'd be a whole lot more down here that wouldn't bother me as much as it does. How do you know if you are meek? All right? Don't talk to me about actions, because we already said it's not actions, it's an attitude. How do you know if you are weak? Do you exhibit self-control when you're angry? Do you exhibit self-control? Do you get angry, react, retaliate only when God is dishonored? Sometimes we have that flip, don't we? We get angry and we retaliate and we react when we're dishonored. But we don't do it when God is dishonored. So we need to flip that around. Do you always respond humbly and obediently to the word of God? Do you always make peace? Do you receive criticism well and love the people who give you the criticism? Do you give instruction with meekness? Just some questions to ask, folks. So, what does it mean to be meek? It means we're in control of our emotions. They control. We control the situation. We're not controlled by it. We're no longer the victims. It's as if Jesus were saying in that beatitude, if you'll allow me to paraphrase it with everything we've covered here. Blessed are those who control their reactions, who are not demanding or judgmental, but who are teachable and have their emotions under control no matter what the situation may be. That's meek. That's meekness. Do we have it? Let's bow our heads, please. Folks, this was a hard one. This was a hard one. As we get deeper in these Beatitudes, it's getting harder for me to study them. It's hard for me to preach sometimes something that I know hasn't been true in my own life. But I'm so thankful that God loves us just where we're at, takes us where we're at, and says, okay, here's the truth, here's the word, now here's where you need to go. It's not wrong to be wrong. It's wrong if we know we're wrong and we don't do anything about it. So here's where we have a choice to make. Here's what the choice involves. It involves us surrendering to God's will. Not mine anymore, but God's. Blessed are those that are meek. Happy are those. Joy and happiness comes when we surrender to God. Would you do that this morning? I don't know what area of your life that keeps popping up in your mind here this morning, but the Holy Spirit's bringing something up to you. Maybe you need to make something right with someone. Confess that to God, then go to that person. Maybe there's, you just need to talk to God about this matter of meekness. That's a prayer He's going to answer, folks. And He's waiting for us to confess and forsake. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let me give you a moment as the instruments play.